Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Best of Five. My name is Elon, and today we are rocking a different setup, so things should be better, hopefully. But my name is Elon, this is Best of Five, it's Tuesday, and I'm joined here, as always, by John Velociraptor Guerrero.
What's up?
And all the way over there on the other side of the monitor is Steve Ace King. Off suit, recently moved into new place. Main squeeze, Jurek.
Ace, new place.
Ace, off new suit. Place.
I don't know. We'll figure out.
Ace, the new place. Off suit.
New place, Ace. Steve, how's the new place? On the inside. On the inside. We'll talk about. We already decent. Talked about the outside.
That's a whole other discussion we're not going to have, but. Place is cool. I enjoy it. I'll enjoy it more when I don't have a broken back.
But yeah. So what'd you do? So you've told us that you. What happened? Tell us the story. Regale us with your tales.
All right. So, we got moved in finally. You know, most of my stuff was in storage, so I had to do that after I got. The roommate stuff, we got that in. So we were moving everything in. The last thing we had to move was the couch. And we had to carry it up a flight of stairs. And right when I was going to do it, my back went out. And it did not go out gently. It went out with a bang. So I'm feeling a bit better now, but like, the first couple days I was walking around, like, you ever see that video of the, this two-legged creature that's taught by AI how to walk?
Oh, the robot?
Yeah, what you're talking about.
Walk. Yeah, it's like, it goes through, like, 300 generations and it learns how to walk based off. I was, like, generation 4. I was walking around like a first year animation student's project. It was not pretty.
Well, I'm glad you are moved into the new place. I'm sorry about your back. Carrying the weight of this show has proven to be too much, and I apologize for that. Turbo Sean, we're all getting old and falling apart. Although, granted, this year everything feels like it's falling apart. But hey, why is my phone going off like crazy? Stop it. I'm going to throw my phone over there. I did it. I probably shouldn't have because I need the dock. But tonight on the show, we're going to talk about love is in the air in the FGC. Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek has resubscribed for the 29th month in a row. I'm always down. Steve is the only person on the show I'll actually like applaud for resubscribing.
Why?
Because you deserve it.
Oliver, you deserve it too.
Well, I'm not subscribed. John's not subscribed, and Mike is also not. Well, Mike is subscribed when he remembers that when your Amazon Prime sub runs out, you have to manually resubscribe. And to do that, you go up to subscriptions all the way on the top right of this video, and you click the subscribe button, and you click subscribe for free. Now, the crazy thing is you can use that anywhere, but let's be real, you're going to forget about it. You're going to forget about it, so might as well just use it on us, right? You don't want that money going to Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Fuck Bezos.
Thank you. Mike. Thank you, Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa. 30 months.
That's a legit sub, yeah. 30 months. Is that the longest?
That's older than Steve.
That is older than Steve. I think that's the longest. Thank you, Kwanzaa. Thank you, Die by Sword. Oh, Die by Sword. We have a hype train going.
30.
He's the reason why we're not subbed. It's because it's Die by Sword's obligation to sub to gift us subs. Like, I'm just giving him the opportunity to do that.
Die by Sword is
John.
We just lost all of our gift subs. Oh, no.
John, do not take any of anybody's generosity for granted.
Die by Sword.
Come over there. Yeah, I will throw napkins at you.
That is not a napkin, sir. That is a tissue box.
I'll throw napkins because I keep them inside my tissue box because no one expects them to be napkins in here. Like, True. Oh, it's just tissues. then bam, napkins.
Damn.
Got him.
That's crazy. But Die by Sword is the sole benefactor in keeping the show afloat from the beginning. So thank you for the resub, Die by Sword. Always an honor and a pleasure to see you, my friend. Okay. Topics. Tonight on the show, love is in the fucking air. It's crazy because Valentine's Day was like 3 months ago, but now everybody is going crazy. Everyone wants to fuck. It's crazy.
4 months.
4 months? I'm sorry. Either way, I can't count. But everybody's fucking. Everybody's like in love. Cupid's arrow has struck the FGC in its entirety. Everybody's in love. On the opposite side of that, a couple people are hating and being racist and being shitty. We're going to touch on that. And a bunch of other crazy shenanigans has gone down, including more online events coming your way. But first, once I found out that this was happening today, I have been looking forward to introducing this. Steve, hit us with that recap, baby.
Yes! We have something to recap. Not to say that other events haven't taken place, but we have the return, finally, of the Capcom Pro Tour in some form. The online-only version of the Capcom Pro Tour kicked off this past weekend. It started with the first of two events for Eastern Europe and the Middle East. And the name you see up top of the standings, a familiar one in Europe, Phenom, for the fifth straight year, makes it to Capcom Cup, holds off Big Bird to win the automatic qualification, Angry Bird in third, White Ash X in fourth. So, pretty strong day for the Middle East overall, but Phenom is the man who gets to go to Capcom Cup in early 2021. But it's still going to be called Capcom 2020 because of the Olympic rule.
Yep.
Even though there were no victors here? Or what did he say? There are no real winners of this tournament? Referring to, of course, it being online and the distance between the people that had to play and whatnot. Getting into that. I mean, that can be our own thing that we talk about later, but it was interesting to see the people react the way they did.
I mean, look. I think I said this when we were first getting word that online events were going to be the new norm for the time being because we can't get together. Especially now, here in the U.S., we're getting to a point where, you know, we're hitting the second wave, baby, and it's stronger than the first. It's almost like the first one never died down. I think we have to approach these online tournaments differently. I'm not saying from an administrative perspective, I'm not saying from a playing perspective, I'm not saying from a logistics perspective, I'm saying just from a mental perspective. We need to let go of this, oh, it's not like the real thing. We don't got the real thing. Mm-hmm. We need to just enjoy what we have. Make fun of it. Laugh at it. Enjoy it. Revel in it. Maybe slightly angry at it.
Well, that's going to be a constant in the FGC no matter what, right?
Yeah.
But also, as Steve will point out to you, look who got second and third there, too.
Who did? Oh, no.
The people you would expect, all of the favorites. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. If you look at, if you combine Eastern Europe and the Middle East, who are the top three players, Street Fighter V players in those two regions combined? Probably Phenom, Big Bird, Angry Bird in some order. Were the top three of the first CPT event in that region? Phenom, Big Bird, Angry Bird. We keep saying that these results don't matter, that they aren't a real test, that it's going to be all Shinakuma 69 and Fart Boner running rampant. But time and time again,
Speaking of looking,
I'm pretty sure.
I hate to interrupt you, Steve, but something like crazy just happened. OG Geek, in his top tier heart, has decided to gift five subs to our community. Thank you. very much OG Geek. Now everybody gets some love. Tap2GG, Jake2XR, Ponder Sleuth, Soulzon 2000, and Ooze Ed. I hope I pronounced that right. And I'm gonna click the thank you button. Thanks, OG Geek. Keeping the hype train alive, baby. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just wanted to stop because that was monumental. But please go on with your thought that I apologize
boner
for interrupting.
Boner farts.
Yes.
So that, I mean, that's a legitimate reason to stop things. So we do thank you for the support. But what I was saying is you've got Phenom winning here. You've got Big Bird and Angry Bird in the top three. Blink Esports had an online event this year or this past weekend, and that was won by Punk, who, if you remember, pretty darn good offline as well. So I don't know if we can necessarily say online is illegitimate anymore. It seems like most of the same people who are winning offline are also winning online. That's not to say they're exactly the same, but at least there's enough parity to say, yeah, okay, this is legit.
Does it matter that they're not the same, though? That's what I'm asking. I don't think it does. And here's why.
I mean, for your...
I mean, look, it's like playing tennis, where you can play in the clay court and you can play in the grass court. Right now, we're playing in the grass court. Right? Sometimes.
It's more like a court that changes constantly and at any point and at any.
Okay,
degree.
So sand. Fine. We'll play in the sand. Where the bounce is always different depending on who steps where, and it's going to feel random.
All right.
But here's the deal, it's what we got. So why be so upset about it? Why be so down on it? That's what I don't understand. That's why it's like, oh, it's not the same, blah, blah. Of course it's not the fucking same. Look, if there's a person out there that's trying to come up with the argument that online and offline are the same, with very few exceptions, that argument's 99.9999% incorrect. They're obviously different. But again, it's what we got. Phenom's going to Capcom Cup, maybe online Capcom Cup. Who knows what the future holds, right?
I think it's an offline finals, but yeah.
But either way,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy we're getting this shit. I'm happy we're getting this shit. I didn't get to watch much of it. I watched a little bit of it. But I'm happy we're seeing some tournaments back on. I think we need those.
Yeah, and I know they... I didn't get a chance to watch, but I know they tried something new with a pregame show where they had Logan and F-Word talking about some of the potential storylines, which I think was a really good idea. I heard the execution was a little rough. Like I said, with the move, I haven't had a chance to check it out myself, but did either of you get a chance to watch it?
I've seen bits and pieces, and we've talked about I've talked about it with the people on Event Hubs that did watch it and covered it for the weekend. There was a handful of, you know, like the Dragon Ball Z fighting at the beginning where where the things had to catch up, and it's clear that there was lag at certain points, but all in all, it's like people are kind of happy to have something to watch, and the action was good, and the results were kind of as you'd expect if things were offline. So again, like kind of what Alon was saying, it's like, it's what we have, and hey, for what it is, it's working pretty well.
See, I wonder how much of that was due to distance, because if you think about it, the two regions are massively far apart geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eastern Europe is pretty big on its own, but then you add the massive Middle East to that. That's ridiculous. You had Lord Ahmed from Oman. He was playing Phenom, and that's a 3,500-mile gap between those two regions, or between those two countries. That's a lot to ask of an online match. I'm wondering, because there's going to be two tournaments in these combined regions, I'm wondering if Capcom would have been better served by saying, okay, Middle East gets one tournament, Eastern Europe gets one tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, splitting it that way, doing more regions, but not necessarily as many players from each region qualifying.
Yep. No, I mean, it's tough, right? It's almost like if South America and North America were just the Americas, and we would have, you know, somebody from Alaska playing somebody from Peru. That'd be crazy. I'd like to see that happen.
We might get Brazil versus Mexico for Mexico is considered Central America. They separated it. Did they split it up from North, Central, South? Yeah, well, and North has two regions. So
yeah.
You've got North America East, North America West, Central America, and South America. But still, you know, Brazil to some of these other countries is still going to be a fairly long distance to cover.
Man, Brazil to Brazil is already like bad. Like, if you have somebody on the southern tip of Brazil in Rio, where I grew up, playing somebody in Fortaleza, which is up north, it's like it's farther apart than the U.S. is wide. So it's more south.
I think a lot of people from outside the U.S. don't realize how big the U.S. is. But by that same token, I think a lot of people outside of Brazil don't realize how big Brazil is.
Yep. Brazil's fucking huge. I remember looking at an atlas when I was younger, right when I moved to the U.S. I don't remember why my brain thought this. But I remember looking at the atlas, and they compared just Brazil to the entirety of North America. And I was like, yeah, of course it's going to be North America is going to be bigger because Brazil is one country. But turns out they were almost the same size. Canada is also really fucking big, too. Yeah. But, yeah, and, you know, you never really worry about geography until you have to play a tournament match with someone somewhere else. All of a sudden, where they are matters. All of a sudden, you know exactly where each state is.
God. God damn it. I have this book from one of my old classes, Why Maps Matter. This would be the perfect time to bust that out. Like, oh shit, I'm playing a Ken from Brazil. This is why maps matter.
Yeah. In the U.S. too, it's like everybody knows exactly where all 50 states are now because of these online tournaments. So thank you, Capcom, for getting us to learn geography, finally. You know, and this is one of those things where I think we should just enjoy what we have. Not necessarily because it's like, oh, Capcom didn't do it right. No, like, of course Capcom didn't do it right. And I don't mean that to say Capcom would have done it wrong in every other situation, but the fact that they pivoted this shit in, like what, 3 months? 4 months? Of course shit's not going to be perfect. And if we're expecting things to be perfect, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. So I think we should just take this year as a parody. Enjoy what we have, revel in it, and then once we can get back to normal, we'll think of this moment fondly and then appreciate our offline tournaments more. You know? Nah, I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Nah, I mean.
Nah, what you mean.
Steve, was there anything else?
Not in terms of pro circuits, but this weekend was kind of special because you had so many big charity events. I mean, we've had charity events ever since this pandemic started. Mm-hmm. But this weekend seemed like there were a whole bunch of them at the same time, and they all raised significant amounts of money. Starting out with Resist the Iron Fist, which was a Tekken 7 event run by the Chicago Tekken crew. They raised over $11,000 for the Bale Project.
Damn, that's awesome.
Amanda Stevens, who's been on our show, she started Transitional Combat to help Trans Lifeline, which is a suicide hotline for trans people, and raised over $10,000, which I think is enough to run it for 5 or 6 days, which is awesome. Fight for Rights was a Smash event that raised over $10,000 for a bunch of Black Lives Matters organizations, including the George Floyd Memorial Fund and Minnesota Healing Justice. And then you had Quarantine Report 2. This was a massive, like, 67-game major that was all under one umbrella. They ran tournaments in Japan, Europe, the U.S. They raised nearly $7,000 for direct relief for COVID-19 response, which is amazing to see.
Steve, how can you do us dirty like that, Steve? With a number like that on the screen? Oh, it says over 6. All right, well, never mind. They raised over 69,000. I just wanted to see the 69, and you said almost 7,000, and I got upset. But I also didn't read the full thing. So really, this is my fault. Really, this is on me, and I apologize for stopping the show. And thank you, JGZ, for following.
It's okay. I forgive you. Cool. But yeah, I know. Yeah, it's awesome to see, you know, so many people have used this opportunity to push, you know, to not just help them help run events and help their communities, but help others who might not get the help. I mean, this was, I hadn't heard of Trans Lifeline until Amanda and the work she did and her team did this weekend. You know, so it's really, really heartwarming to see all of that take place.
Mm-hmm. Man. All right. We'll get into more heartwarming stuff later down the line, but I think we should move on to our next topic here. First, let's just get into all these announcements, right? Let's start off with the good stuff, then we'll get to the sad stuff, then we'll get to the bad stuff, and then we'll get to the heartwarming stuff. First, what did I say? We were starting out with good. I forgot what I just said. Like, legit, I just forgot what I said.
You said good stuff.
Okay, so we finally had the reveals we were looking for. We had first the PlayStation 5 has officially been revealed with a lot of gameplay, a lot of other shenanigans, including the design of the console itself. And lo and behold, it's not a console. It is a Wi-Fi router. Welcome to PlayStation 5.
I've seen so many good memes about it. The best is Seto Kaiba with the jacket. You know, this is one of those things where, remember how weird the PS3 controller looked at first? And then when we saw it in real life, oh, that doesn't look all that strange. Like, it looked like a boomerang at first. I have a feeling this is going to be the same way, where when we see it in real life, it's going to be easier to handle, or it's not going to be as jarring.
But guys, it's modern. It's got those jagged edges because that's what, and it's got lots of negative space because it's modern.
You know, I think it went over just about as well as it possibly could for Sony because, yeah, we're making a lot of fun of it, but it's not something that's an unforgivable sin in the eyes of the internet. We're having a good time, but, like, a lot of the reveals were, I mean, I personally wasn't super hyped for most of it, but it seems like the reaction to a lot of it was really good. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's a factor, right? The appearance of the console itself, but it's usually not the thing that makes or breaks it when you go to buy it. So Sony's getting a ton of publicity. It's kind of like a ha ha ha, let's laugh at it, but it's also not so much that it's hurting the concept and the idea. So wins all around for Sony this weekend.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I think the most exciting stuff that was announced is the stuff that's just under the surface, right? So I think it was either last month or 2 months ago, we saw that Unreal Engine 5 tech demo and how amazing that shit looked and how groundbreaking some of the stuff that they were pulling out of that engine was. Godfall, which was announced for the launch of PlayStation 5, which is this year, is running on Unreal 5. Like, it's here. Like, that to me is, like, super exciting because, like, everything that we've known as far as limits for video games with the Unreal Engine 5 and as far as how they used it on the PlayStation 5 with that tech demo changes everything as far as quality and as far as how things load. That's even though Godfall itself didn't get my attention, the fact that it's running on that engine is something that I think is very exciting and I'm looking forward to. Steve, you wanted to say something.
What did get your attention then?
Destruction All-Stars. That game looks fucking hilarious and I want to play it. It's the one where you're like parkouring while there's cars trying to run you over. And you can also ride the car and you can chop cars in half with a blade that's on your car. It looks hilarious. I want to play it. And it looks super fun.
See, that one, what was it? Like, it was one of the first ones showed off. Deathloop.
Deathloop. That does look interesting, too, yeah. You know what else is interesting? Piusera, 32 months, so we were wrong. 32 is the largest number we've seen. Thank you, Piusera. And he does have the founder's badge. So 32 months is how long we've been partnered on Twitch, I'm assuming. Big thanks. Yes.
But Deathloop looked interesting to me. Y'all better put some respect on the name of Bugsnacks.
I was going to say Bugsnacks.
I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare about it. I swear to God, I tripped. I don't even want to talk about it.
You can't not talk about it.
Oh my God, dude. Like, the concept of food being bugs, like, I'm already kind of like scared of insects and shit. So the fact of foods being bugs, like, I'm out. First. Second, the fact that you eat something and then your hand turns into whatever you just ate, even worse. Right? Like, I don't want to eat, like, a salad and all of a sudden, like, all I got is broccoli fist. And then third, the fucking, like, monster at the end, like, that game is terrifying. That game legit scared the shit out of me.
I immediately went to the fridge and started eating some strawberries.
I'm afraid my strawberries are going to walk out the door.
But does the song make you feel any better about things?
I don't even remember.
Because that song... How can you forget that song?
I don't even remember. I blocked it from my memory. Oh, and the fact that it's Pokemon with food. Like, the strawberry is just walking around saying strawberry.
Strawberry.
A lot of work went into Bugsnacks. Holy shit, we need something ready for when PS5 launches. Well, we've been fucking around for way too long. What do we do now? Bugsnacks. Do it. Get it made.
With that said, though, I will say this. As much as it scares me that game is a thing, I am so happy to see, like, original ideas come out, because to me personally, gaming for the past, like, 5 years has just felt like everybody's just rehashing and watering down old ideas. So seeing shit like that, as terrifying as it is, I'm happy people are coming up with new shit. Oh, yeah, and there's that cat game, too, Stray.
Stray looks interesting.
Did you guys see that meme?
No.
There was that meme with Stray where they took the last shot of it where it was just the cat looking all triumphant and shit, and they put the PS5 logo, except they replaced the 5 with another PS, and it just went pss, 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 pss.
Oh, yes.
Holy shit, dude. So fucking good.
So I think the two games that really stuck with me the most are three, because Kena looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Bugsnacks looks like fun. And then there are going to be some artists on DeviantArt and other websites that are going to make some serious bank off of Goodbye Volcano High.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bugsnacks.
I'm making bank off of Bugsnacks. But there are some artists who saw that trailer and they're like, thank you. I can make rent for the next year.
Yep.
Because that game, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, Shayon, Ghostwire. Ghostwire looks super exciting. I can't wait to try that game. Yeah, and Deathloop also looked super cool. There's a lot of really good stuff. Did you guys get surprised by anything?
Not really, no.
I was surprised about Horizon 2. I wasn't expecting that one. I was hoping for something else. But the game still looks good. Looking forward to it.
I was thinking we would get at least one fighting game, maybe. Like, even if it wasn't like a traditional fighter. With as much as they put into, you know, the anime fighters and Street Fighter V to kind of lock down the PS4 generation, I thought they'd throw something to PS5 today. Maybe just like a mini trailer or something. Sort of surprised that didn't happen, but
yeah. Well, here's the thing. the fact that this comes out holiday 2020, which is in, what, like 3-4 months, maybe five, technically 5.5. Guilty Gear coming out in 2021, and the fact that Sony has announced that they're urging developers to not program for the PlayStation 4 anymore and just go straight to the PlayStation 5. I think it's safe for us to assume that Guilty Gear Strive is going to be on the PlayStation 5. It's the fifth one on the five of the PlayStations. So,
Go ahead. I would say I wouldn't be surprised if it gets a PS5 version later, but I still expect PS4 to be the lead console for that.
Yeah, well, the initial plan was to release it in 2020, so I would assume that would mean that, or that would imply a PS4 release. But yeah, I you'd imagine that it'd probably be available on both consoles. That's the smart move.
Yeah, I mean, that could... That really explains why they delayed it from 2020 to 2021. To me, it's like, oh, got this information, should make the switch so that things are better in the future. I do want to add one more thing that I forgot. Somebody brought it up. Gran Turismo 7 looks really good. I really want to play that game. I've been doing a lot of sim racing. I've been doing a lot of Gran Turismo Sport. And Gran Turismo Sport has a lot of similarities. Like, the community of Gran Turismo and online racing has a lot of similarities to the FGC, where everybody wants everybody to get better, right? And then there's also a bunch of assholes who ruin it for everybody, much like every other community out there. So I've been getting into a lot of sim racing, and your boy over here ran an FIA-sponsored race on Gran Turismo Sport and took a fourth place finish. I mean, yeah, I qualified in third and finished fourth, but you know what? Suck it. I got 30 points on the leaderboard, baby. Equivalent to nothing.
Get those points.
Yeah.
It's more points than I have.
Yeah, if I get 400 of those, I get invited in the top 16 All-Stars. And had it not been for COVID, they would have flown. They fly people out to the actual track so that they can play on the convention center next to the track. And then they take the players on the track with real cards. It's fucking awesome. I didn't know there was esports Gran Turismo. It's awesome. I love it. But yeah, anyway, I'm sorry for going on that ramble. Speaking of FGC and PlayStation 5, people have been worried about one thing. And I don't know how valid the worries are, but people have been pointing it out. Everybody's, as soon as they saw it, everybody just losing their shit. And that is, Stop moving. Look at that knee. Look at how many USB slots are on this system. The answer to that riddle is two. One regular USB, I believe, and one USB-C. That'd be a problem, because my stick is a regular USB. So how are we going to play in tournaments? Are we going to use more USB hubs that cause power draw problems? What's the deal here? What's the situation? I have a thought, but I will wait to share my thought until you guys share your thought.
Wireless sticks. We're good with online. Why not wireless sticks?
Oh, yeah. I want to see everybody playing from, like... Well, I mean, in the world of COVID, that might be the fix we're all looking for.
Well, I mean, we're getting to a point where more and more games are being designed to be played with a traditional controller. Stuff like MK is designed with a controller in mind. So I don't think they're necessarily putting a whole lot of stock into what are fighting game tournaments going to do. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the players so much. You know, you at home playing online, you're not going to suffer for this. It's going to be the event runners. It's going to be the organizations that rent out equipment to events. They're the ones who are going to have to face this problem. I don't know if we're going to have some sort of lagless, power drawless USB port solution by then. We may have to look at wireless options.
Don't forget to disconnect your sticks. Don't forget to unsync your sticks. Oh boy, that'll be crazy. Yeah, I do have one point, and some people have brought it up in the chat. Another interesting point, Paco Stevens Hello, Paco Stevens, brings up the fact that there are some wireless mice out there who work faster than some sticks. Or not sticks, but faster than some controllers. There are, you know, he also brings up phones used to have to have cords, too. Maybe we're just moving towards that. But the other thing, too, that we're all forgetting about is this. We haven't seen the back of the fucking console. We don't know how many. For all we know, there could be like 8 USB ports back there. but the fact that they also have a USB-C port in the front, I think, is going to help alleviate those power draw issues that we had with the hubs that we were using when we had those issues with those hubs.
I'm just imagining like 24 USB ports now on the back of that. Like, you think all of those little indents are vents? No, they're all just USB ports.
Yep, you can pull off the jacket, and it's just USB ports going all the way up and down the console.
USB ports all the way down.
Yep. But yeah, I think, I mean, I, honestly, again, this is one of those things where we don't know, right? I don't know who has thought of it, if anybody has. But that's one of those things where, you know, we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it. And if it means using that USB-C port for hubs and hoping that we don't get power draw issues like we have with the PlayStation 4, then so be it. If not, we'll, you know, isn't the motto of the FGC to adapt? We'll figure it the fuck out.
We say adapt, but then we cry.
Bitch about patch notes.
Yeah.
And this is a patch note, kind of. But I mean, I'm excited. I'm super excited that they announced the digital version. That is, I can only assume, going to be cheaper. Really? Why is that?
I like my physical games. I like having ownership. I like having some option other than just hoping the cloud is still on when I want to play these games later. So,
okay.
I know a lot of people are down that path.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not me. Call me old school.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of it is you have one that does have the disc drive, and you have one that doesn't. So everybody's happy.
Yeah, but the disc drive costs more.
Well, yeah. You pay for what you get.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, and I totally understand ownership and all that other stuff. I still have a giant box. I don't know what it is with me, but I think once I started using, like, I held off doing digital purchases for a long time, but once I started doing digital purchases, that's when I just went full out. I still have I have a Comba box. Not like the stick box, but like the box that Comba shipped the stick box in, filled to the brim with PlayStation 3 games. So yeah, I totally understand that. And the beauty of it is we have that option. Cool. I'm excited. But yeah. And then, you know, they showed off a little bit more about the new DualSense with its haptic feedback and all this other crazy shenanigans. It doesn't open up like that one video that somebody made. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was the one where they had the controller in their hand, and then the controller opened, and then the middle was a LCD screen that also opened. It looked cool, but it would never work in real life. But yeah, that controller is going to be expensive as hell, and I can only assume that having those haptic feedback triggers and bumpers is going to cause a lot of issues. Things are going to break. You're going to have to get a new one. It's going to be like $200. It's going to be crazy.
How old do we sound right now? I don't know. Online and the new PlayStation is not enough ports. The controller, this is never going to work, guys.
We're all close to our 30s.
John, the last couple weeks we've talked about thrown out backs and gout.
I don't pretend
we're young anymore.
Look, we're all close to 30. We might as well be dead. We're knocking on death's door at this point.
I wish I was close to 30.
Close to 30 back that way.
I'm closer to 40 than I am to 30. This.
I've lived.
And now I'm sad.
I've lived more than I have not lived. Let that one sink in.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, it is. I have lived more than I have not lived. Anyway, we'll let that one sink in. PlayStation 5 looks pretty cool. We got another announcement, and this one was fake news, so don't pay attention to this one.
Oh, I that doesn't seem so fake to me.
They heard my prediction, and then they changed it.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yep.
I'm sure that's exactly what it was.
This game is so sexy looking. Like, look at that!
Oh, look, it's Zappa with a hat. Whoa, I called it.
That does not... That's a weird way to spell Zappa. Ram Lethal Valentine! Ram Lethal is back in the Guiltiest of Gears.
Is the music
blue,
too loud?
By the way.
Oh,
not for me.
I don't know.
Anyway, go on.
By the way, Blue subscribed in chat saying... Quote, you got it wrong, detective, end quote.
Well, look, you can't be right all the time, even though I am right 90% of the time.
Unless you're me, who is right 100% of the time.
Yep, Steve is the only person who can be right 100% of the time.
Can you be wrong all the time? Because that's me with pizza bets.
Yep. Well, you're living proof. But here's the deal. My prediction was for when it was originally set to air... But because they had to delay it, they decided to change the trailer. So Zappa will be coming in August. That's when they said they were going to release the next character trailer. It's going to be in August 2020. So look out for that. Everybody's worried about Elfelt coming back too now. Now that Ramlethal's
in. Because she's a sister.
Yeah. And Elfelt was like the bane of like 80% of Exerd players' existence.
So that was because of playstyle,
right?
Go ahead, Steve.
Here's what's going to happen. Elfelt throws the strawberries, but what? They're not strawberries. They're Strawby from Bugsnax. Crossover confirmed.
Oh my god. Yeah, I can't wait for the Guilty Gear crossover with Bugsnax.
And Steve's right 100% of the time. Oh,
Steve
shit.
Steve is right 100% of the
time. 100% of the time. You can put this on the board. Bugsnax cross Guilty Gear.
Want a bit of pizza on it? Want a bit of pizza on it?
No. 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 That would be unfair to you because this is guaranteed.
Holy shit. Oh, man. That one made me laugh. But yeah, you know what? I'm with Godzilla. Bring back Heyun. I liked Heyun. Heyun was fun.
I'm wondering when we're going to see some original characters or if we're going to get original characters.
Is Ramlethal not
What if Bugsnax is the lobby system for Guilty Gear?
Right. Steve, you're becoming a mad scientist now. This has gone too far, Steve.
What if you play Bugsnax as a loading screen while you're waiting for your match in Guilty Gear?
Ugh.
And I hope they have SF5 load times.
What if the monster is the true boss of Strive? The monster from Bugsnax.
All right, what else?
All right, I'm done.
No,
keep going.
Now I'm letting you go. Let's see it. Let's hear it. What else? Also, what was that dude's
line?
What was that dude's line in the Bugsnax trailer? It's like... I turned my hands into wieners and now my house is on fire or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
And now the island's on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bugsnax is smash.
Bugsnax is going to be... All games are Bugsnax now. That's the true power of the PS5. Every game will involve Bugsnax in some way, shape, or form.
Yep, and that's the whole point of that SSD is you don't have to load up Bugsnax for Bugsnax to be possible at any point.
The next Yakuza game, when you go to the arcade, you go to the Virtua Fighter machine. No, it's Bugsnax.
It's Bugsnax. Damn. Okay. Anyway, that was the sad news. was that Ramlethal came out for Guilty Gear, and I was wrong, so I apologize. And then we're going to move on. Speaking of Bugsnax.
Okay. Enough of Bugsnax. Is your actual guess for the next character Zappa?
No, I'm going to have to look it up. It comes out in August, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of research. I'm going to have to do a little bit of sleuthing. I'm willing to put down another pizza on the line, but I don't know what that would be like. I have to sleuth. I have to dig. I have to formulate.
But I will give you that opportunity.
All right, we'll have the pizza run.
I'm currently leaning towards them finally showing more of the samurai character in the original trailer.
I thought that's who we were going to get.
Yeah.
How crazy would it be if it was actually Bugsnax, though? Like, I would quit the show. I would quit the show if it was Bugsnax.
Like, he puts on the visor. The visor wraps around him. He unwraps the visor, and all of a sudden, it's the safari guy from Bugsnax. And then the entire game is Bugsnax.
Bugsnax.
I don't care that this stopped being funny. It's going to happen.
Bugsnax.
Watch out behind you. Bugsnax. Oh my god. All right, we're clearly all losing our fucking minds. And I'm happy that it's with something that actually gave me a fucking nightmare. So I can't wait to have another nightmare tonight. I was out, they pulled me back in. Speaking of being out and being pulled back in, speaking of Bugsnax, there was another big announcement this week. And that was CEO. CEO Online Edition is happening. What is that, next week? 2 weeks from now? With the lineup of games that nobody saw coming. I almost want to ask if this is going to go down. Have you guys tried to play Ultra recently?
It's what we have, Elon. It's what we have. We got to make the most of it.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but have you guys tried to play Ultra recently, though?
Not online, no.
Okay, because I did. And I had a blast. But, man, we don't know how good we have it nowadays. that delay-based netcode is kind of rough, now that we're so used to the half-ass rollback.
Well, but here's the thing. People would play Street Fighter 4 online, despite it being what it was. I don't think as many people played Marvel vs. Capcom 3 online, because it was just known for being that much more terrible. And we've kind of lost, in all of our usage of hyperbole and talking about how bad online can be, we've kind of lost significance when we say, oh man, it's rough to play something online. But that gives you a basic idea, because you know how bad Street Fighter 4 is, especially by the standards of today. And then you say, well, people still played that. They didn't really play Marvel. By the way, Marvel's on the lineup for CEO as well.
Yeah, although, was the PlayStation 4 release of Marvel any good? Like, were people in terms of, I never tried it.
In terms of online, I don't believe it was significantly better.
Yeah, that might be one of those, like, we'll have to revisit it and see what happens. I will say this, though. I have very fond memories of Wednesday Night Fights Online right after Vae and Super Arcade split, playing with a bunch of people there. That was lots of fun. I remember I made top 8 once and then immediately got my shit pushed in by Brent is Cool and his Rufus. Good times.
So also worth mentioning, this is a 2-day event on Saturday and Sunday. Marvel, it will be Street Fighter, Ultra Street Fighter 4, UMVC3, and MK11 Aftermath. The Sunday is going to involve sort of a retrospective look at CEO, similar to what Combo Breaker did on their weekend. Mm-hmm. So they'll be looking at presumably some of the best matches, some of the best entrances. So there will be some form of CEO entertainment that weekend besides the tournament itself.
Okay. Right here, right now. Pick two walk-in entrances that are going to be shown in that retrospective.
I think you got to go with JDCR's Thanos. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they'll do Infiltration's Val Venus one, because as an entrance, that was one of the best of all time. Mm-hmm. Did I say JDCR? Fuck. No, yeah. It was Knee who did that. My bad. I am not with it.
Okay, so Knee...
That's on me.
Knee and Infiltration. Those are your guesses?
No, I'm not going Infiltration. I'm going Knee, and I'm going K-Brad.
Okay, Knee and K-Brad.
With the Stone Cold Stunners.
Yep, John?
I was going to say K-Brad, and... man. What about when Kazunoko gave the assist to Apology Man and did the dead Yamcha pose?
It was
Apology
so
Man
good.
And Teemo? Was that who was with
him?
Yeah, it was Teemo. I'm going to give it to those two.
Yep. Man, everybody forgot the Dominion one.
No, I didn't. That was on my mind, but that just didn't... It was great. It was absolutely great. But for whatever reason, it didn't... It just didn't make the splash that the others did. It doesn't have the staying power. Just not quite. But it was one of the first ones that came up in my mind. Right.
My picks are the Dominion entrance, mostly because of how uncomfortable Bon-Chan was. Right? That was Bon-Chan.
Yes.
I was with him, right? The look on Bon-Chan's face when... Dominion was doing this thing. Funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Would like
what's up, K-Brad?
Hey, what up, K-Brad? We were just talking about you. You know what? Yeah, that's definitely going to be on that retrospective because he got a shout-out from Stone Cold himself. Somebody showed that shit to Steve Austin himself.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. K-Brad's going to be on the retrospective. Better pizza on it. Also, by the way, just going to say this. If you guys haven't been following K-Brad's streams recently, he's fucking awesome. So go follow that man if you don't know. He streams out here on Twitch. And you can tell by the verified badge on his name. Dominion. And you know what? I want to see this one. I don't know if I want to see it necessarily because it's good, but I want to see it just because I remember it being hilarious. Thanks for stopping by, K-Brad. Punk's entrance. In 2016, with the Pokemans, yeah. With Marn and Kenny Omega.
Oh, that was good.
And Chris G. And then Punk slapping the Pokeball. I just want to see it because, that's some of that shit. Like, that's some shit you don't get to see twice, and I want to see that twice.
That one's good. One that I think it's overlooked a lot was PR Balrog's entrance. When he was doing the Alberto Del Rio thing and he had this, the Spanish introduction for that KOF 13 set. It was sneaky good. It was sneaky good.
Hell yeah. Oh man, Sharp FGC Oil King taking his pants off with the shorts?
Oh.
That's good.
There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones to choose from.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a fun weekend to watch. If Combo Breaker retrospective is a barometer for how great watching history FGC history feels, then CEO is going to be a fun time. Can't wait to see it. All right. Let's get into some of this bullshit. I almost don't want to talk about this, but it's on the dock, so I guess we have to talk about it. We all forgot about a certain someone, and then that certain someone decided that they wanted some attention, and then they got it by being shitty.
Oh.
Very shitty. And then proceeded to be shittier about it. So I almost feel like Steve, do you want to talk about it?
I guess we got to set it up. At some point this week, F-Champ, former Evo champion, he tweeted at, for some reason, "Hey, check this out. Hashtag Watermelon Lives Matter," with a big picture of a watermelon. It was stupid. It was a joke, I guess. But the response was pretty strong, pretty quick. He got banned from East Coast Throwdown, subsequently got banned from Combo Breaker and Big E events. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing. He said that he didn't have any ill intention with the tweet, but is what it is. Do you guys think it's appropriate?
Are you asking if we think it's appropriate?
Yeah.
No, it's not only was it... No, it was a dumb joke.
I
meant the ban. Yeah, do you think the bans are appropriate?
Well, we talked about this earlier. If you're going to draw that line in the sand, you're going to have to be consistent about it. And, boy, I guess the line on the sand has been drawn. So
yeah, I don't know about this. Yeah, it sounds like you're not quite done.
Well, I mean, look, here's the sitch. First, it was very clear, and I could be wrong about this, but to me it's very clear that this was just kind of a cry for attention, and then he turned on the stream and then tried to talk about it, and people were pissed off about it, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if the response is appropriate or not. It's not my place to decide if the response is appropriate or not, I don't think. Mostly because I don't run tournaments and I don't make those decisions. But if we're going down this path where this has happened, this is the consequence, is it okay for us to then retrospectively go back, see what other people have done, and then apply that same standard that we have found now to those people that did it before this happened? First.
It's not... I mean... Yeah, I don't know. This is hard. We're not ready for social media, is what it is. We're not ready for this kind of stuff. It's too much for us to kind of balance all of these things. But when you start making those calls, and it is the tournament organizer's prerogative to say, you know, if I want to ban these people for whatever reason, you know, we reserve the right to refuse service. I mean, they can do that, but it's not... I don't know, man. I don't have an answer for it. If it were me, I think I would be a little more hesitant to do it. Because right now the mobs and such on social media are really going to be pushing for it. It was a stupid and it's an insulting and offensive thing to do. But does it overlap into that realm to the extent where you should be making decisions based on, like, as a TO, based on how Champ conducts himself or anyone conduct themselves on social media? It's like, that book hasn't really been written yet, and so we're starting to write it now, but it's like, do you also ban James Chen? He's got an N-word in his Twitter history, and everybody else like that, or like, you know, like, do you pick and choose who you... The rule book has to eventually be written, and I guess this is how history kind of unfolds when there's a new entity like this, but I don't have the answer.
Mm-hmm. Steve, do you have an answer?
I don't.
And I don't mean to be like, Steve, the monolith. That's not what I mean.
Right. Well, I mean, that's worth bringing up, too, because, you know, I don't get to this. I'm not a spokesman for black people across the FGC. I'm not a spokesperson for black people across the world. I can only speak for me. I can say if I'm offended or not, mm-hmm. but I can't say someone else was offended or someone else wasn't. There's so many issues at play. First off, this a lot of people are mad about this because the banhammer came very quick in this instance for F-Champ. Whereas, you know, a few days prior, Mike Z on a Skullgirls stream made a reference to someone being under a tremendous amount of pressure and said, "Are you saying he can't breathe?" in reference to George Floyd, which he immediately apologized for. And he, as far as I know, he did not receive any bans. Should he have received any bans? I personally don't think so. Should F-Champ in and of a vacuum, in and of itself, gotten a ban for this? I don't know. I wouldn't have, I think part of the issue is this isn't his first time doing something stupid. You know, he's Mike Z. He tells, you know, he says something, but he isn't really known for being a dick. Unless you don't play Skullgirls or you play, you create a game
he's
that isn't Skullgirls.
He's kind of known for being a little bit of a dick, but not
a little bit
game.
Of a dick, but not like racist dick or anything along those lines.
He was regularly contributing. I think he's in Minneapolis, isn't he? Or he's nearby. He's been donating. Like it's clear that he's got plenty on the other side of the you know, his resume that where he's not being racist and he's not, you know, this was a stupid joke that he just didn't think through.
So,
like I was saying though, this isn't just the way I see it. This isn't just for this one thing. This is sort of like a lifetime achievement award for F-Champ, in this where he's always sort of towed the line of, you know, is it an act? Is he just being dick? But he's always played the heel. He's embraced that role. And, you know, when you do that, you tend not to get you tend not to get the benefit of the doubt if something like this happens. So I'm not exactly going to cry myself to sleep over the idea of him being banned.
Okay. So what we're getting at and what seems to be happening is the situation occurs, then it's all about the context of who that person is, right? That seems to be where we're heading. Because something like Mike Z, and I think we've seen people here in the chat say it, we've seen, I think Sonic Fox tweeted about it as well, where the situation is different because he doesn't have a history of being racist and he doesn't have a history of doing this kind of stuff, right? Where as far as F-Champ, he does kind of have this history of being like leaning towards the racist and kind of being unsavory, I guess. Is that the right word to use? I don't know.
Definitely unsavory.
Yeah.
So,
it seems to me like the way that we're heading right now and the way things are happening is it happens, and then that causes people to like put the Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass over that person, and then the judgment happens, right? And it seems to be like kind of a community-wide thing because people tend to get outraged, and then they stop, or they get outraged, and they keep getting more and more outraged as it happens.
I think you just have to have established rules written down that everyone can reference. That's why we do that in the first place, for big bodies of people and such. I think that that's what you need here. And it's, you know, it's tournaments are still growing and becoming big, like entities, like they have been in recent years. A lot of this stuff is growing pains and figuring it out. But I do think that the answer to this is you have to have a cold, hard rule book that you can reference and say someone broke the rule or they didn't. Otherwise, it can very quickly become, well, I pick my favorites. So-and-so said something, but so-and-so said something, an instant ban, and you just have chaos and all the problems that we're beginning to see with this, or we're seeing on the horizon if things continue in this direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the same token, though. You know, I've called for consistency. I've been saying, you know, we should have some sort of community standard. You know, whether it's whatever you want to call that. But, you know, shouldn't a TO have the right to say, you know what, I don't want to fuck with this? Like, if he does something, like if I'm running an event and someone does something that I particularly dislike, you know, even if the community at large doesn't, you know, doesn't think it's ban worthy, or, you know, maybe a majority doesn't, but it's my event, I should have some say over who I wish to associate with and who I wish to not associate with. So shouldn't I be able to say, hey, nah, screw you, don't come to my house that weekend?
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they have the right to do that.
Right. So I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, I don't know if we can necessarily have that sort of level of, because we're not talking about something that's just a tournament. We're not talking about something that is just, you know, a standalone event that has no emotion or nothing tied to it. It's, you know, CEO is Jabali's thing. Combo Breaker is Rick's thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Big E events are Big E's thing. If they don't want somebody there, shouldn't they have the right to say, you know what, I don't care. I don't want you here. As long as it's not for one of the protected classes. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Does it get tricky with Pro Tours? That's my question. I don't know what those contracts look like. I don't know what any of that looks like, but I mean, look, I feel like this is my, from the outside, logic, right? I don't know anything about anybody doing anything as far as TOing and contracts with Pro Tours, blah, 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 blah. Ultimately, that person, Rick, Jabali, Big E, Larry, Vi, whoever, they're running a private event. It's not a public event. It's not like a government thing. So they, and I'm pretty sure when you sign up to go, there's probably a clause in like the terms of service or whatever that says you can be kicked out or you can be refused entry for any reason, right? So as a private event, they hold that right to refuse service. So now it could get, like I said, it could get tricky with Pro Tour signups and with all this other shit. I don't know how that hierarchy works. But then at that point, the thing that then comes into question is, if one tournament bans this person and another one doesn't, it feels like something is wrong.
It also feels like, you know, well, it depends on what they're being banned for. If, you know, PC Marvel God being banned from Canada Cup because of something they did at Canada Cup, I don't think people are going to have necessarily have a problem if another event decides not to ban them, you know, in that case. But, you know, when you talk about something like that, it feels like, you know, with the way things are, whether you ban or don't ban a player based on a particular offense sort of seems to present a statement of values to potential attendees. Mm. You know, oh, this person stands, if someone is a dick on Twitter and they get banned from one event, you'll have a whole bunch of people saying, hey, this person's standing up for the rights of people to feel safe at an event. If they don't get banned from another event, then people will say, okay, this person's standing up for the rights of free speech and, you know, the ability to speak your mind and be real and what have you. It feels like a lot of things get drawn into, not just in the FGC, but in general right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it becomes part of something bigger, where every action you make as an individual or as a company is sort of a value statement on something or other. And that's a tough field for a lot of tournaments to navigate. A lot of tournament organizers, event organizers, to navigate.
Yeah. I think, so here's the thing. Ultimately, making sure everybody feels safe is kind of a big priority. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Correct.
So, having somebody who is racist or has said racist things on social media immediately brings that, or having somebody who is racist or has said unsavory things on social media, blah, 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 at an event immediately kind of makes the, makes that bell ring in my head of like, oh, what if X, Y, and Z, right? So I don't necessarily, Yeah, it's like,
it's a complex subject.
Yeah, it's like, because like, there's a part of me that's like, great, ban him from the tournament, problem solved, we don't have to think about it again. The other thing is like, is there another thing, now that I'm thinking about it? Is that like the easy answer? Because then it gets to the point where it's like, you have an issue, like, I hate to bring it up, but we had Max, you know, a couple years ago with that incident, the ninja dagger.
Yeah.
Would you even consider banning Max for that?
It's a different situation.
I mean, I know,
but
people would.
It's a different situation, I think. It's a different situation, I think. But if we're putting these hard, fast rules,
I mean, we're trying.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, John.
Just saying, we're trying to establish these kinds of well, we're not trying to establish these kinds of things. We're just kind of like reacting as things come up, and it's just not, it's not something that you can't really handle it that way. It's just not efficient. There's too many, well, like the conversation we're having right now. But what were you saying, Steve?
I was saying, like, for example, we've got a whole bunch of people who have used the N-word and other words of that nature that probably shouldn't be using them, whether, you know, in casual context or in casual conversation, maybe not necessarily as an insult, but are we going to hold all of those to that one standard, or do we look at context? And if we say, okay, we're looking at context, are we going to be okay in saying, well, you know, some people are going to get punished for this thing, some people aren't. That's just the way it is. Are we going to be okay with that? Because I think there are some issues where common sense has to come in and say, okay, we all kind of know what the intent is. This wasn't bad. This clearly was. This clearly wasn't. Then you're going to have the edge cases. Are we going to be okay with, you know, having those edge cases, or are we going to say, you know what, this is the line, you cross it, you're done?
Yeah, I think King of Games kind of used a word there that I think sums it up, and I think intent is where, at least in my mind, I think that's where the answer lies.
Right.
But go ahead.
But we're not always going to be able to figure out intent.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's impossible in some cases to figure out. I find it funny that I think, what was it? There was a Polygon article that came up today featuring Tasty Steve talking about how diverse and welcoming the fighting game community is. And then we're talking about shit like this. I think the answer lies in intent. That's still a murky answer. It's still not a definite answer. But what else do we have?
Oh, people don't even know how they want to go about like with the Mike Z thing, people immediately started calling for the removal of Skullgirls from the Evo lineup, like to punish Mike Z. It's like, first off, that's punishing Mike Z plus everybody else on his team plus everyone who plays Skullgirls. But immediately, like, ban it from Evo. It's like, that's the other part of this, is people tend to react very quickly and just start shooting when it comes to these kinds of things, and that's not efficient either. It's just it's chaotic.
Yeah. Either way, that's a whole can of worms that happened. I didn't want to talk about it that much, but we actually breached a discussion about it. Do we have any final thoughts before we move on this subject?
This is probably not going to be the last time we talk about this. Probably not going to be the last time we have to talk about this.
Nope.
So think before you say anything in public. Just think.
Yep. Just stop throwing crabs. Damn it.
Well, don't stop doing that, but all the other...
I had a train of thought and it's gone out of my brain. I remember. Speaking of throwing crabs, did Smash get it right by having the community overlords or whatever they're called, of people deciding like what the code of conduct is for the community and everything?
It seems to work for them so far.
I think the idea is probably better received than the execution of it in many instances, because you're basically coming down and determining what is bad or what is bad, what is worse, you know. And you have instances where throwing a tournament gets a tougher punishment than sexual harassment. So there's still plenty of kinks to be worked out in something like that, whether we see that in the FGC or what have you.
Word. Okay. Any closing thoughts? Do we need to? Unfortunately, we couldn't come up with a solution.
maybe briefly, just that. Yeah, no solutions or anything like that. But this is the kind of thing that's going to happen as a society or a community evolves. And, it, you know, I come into this thinking, well, there should be an answer. Why don't we have an answer? We're behind, you know, the more established groups would have an answer. And it's like, well, maybe, but maybe not, you know, because what we're dealing with here, a lot of this, you know, is because what was accepted and what was okay yesterday has changed, and now that's no longer okay. And now we're like, well, how do we deal with that? And I shouldn't say okay, what was socially accepted. You know, it was all right to use that word a lot of times in the past, and people were not punished for it, and they felt like it was okay. And then that's changed, for instance, right? And so now it's like, well, how do we reconcile? It was okay then for them to do it, and now it's not okay, and now it's, you know. But we really haven't figured that out on the big scale either. You know, there are things that are constantly changing in our society. Marijuana use, for example, it's like it wasn't okay. Now it's kind of getting okay, but just they've got people in prison for it. Like, how do we do it? So I guess my takeaway from all of that is that this has felt like it's like, oh, maybe we're weird for not having answers to it. But I don't think people have answers in general to all of this stuff. And so I'm a little bit. I'm not too quick to judge, you know, TOs or the powers that be for not having a legitimate answer to it, because it's like, well, I don't, and we obviously don't. And you just kind of got to roll with it. And you said something a few weeks back, Steve, like, just don't be a dick, you know? So as far as where we're at right now, it's like, well, my rule is don't be a dick. And that's not going to figure out the answer to all the problems that come down the pike, but it's a good starting point.
Word. Alrighty, that ends that discussion. Thank you for having it. It's a tough discussion. We don't have a solution, nor do I think we are equipped to come up with a solution. But I think it's a good thing that this conversation is being had nonetheless. Anything in order to make everybody feel comfy. Now, complete contrast of that. Let's get to the fun shit. Love is in the fucking air in the FGC. Cuddlecore, one of my favorite FGC personalities, tweeted out the bravest fucking thing I have ever seen on Twitter. Basically saying, my crush in the FGC is Scar. I can't, I wouldn't be able to do that. I don't have the balls to do it. Probably should have used another word than balls, but you know what? I'll work on that. I apologize. Now, that in itself is already great, but Scar responded, and now there is a mystical match. The Cupid arrow has hit. They are in contact, and everybody in the FGC is rooting for them. Everybody is fucking in on it. They're the new FGC power couple. Everybody wants it to happen. I don't know if you guys saw some of the responses to those tweets, but holy shit, they were funny. I remember seeing, what was it? It was Mena responded to Scar in responding to Cuddle Chorus saying, "Hey, thanks for letting me borrow your Lambo." We had other people saying, "Hey, Cuddlecore, thanks for paying off my student loans." There's wingmen.
That's a common thing now.
There's wingmen and women left and right. Everybody's rooting for this to happen. So this has sparked the FGC crush. And that was our question of the day. Let me pull
this. Well, kind of. Because crushes sort of mean one, you know, they can be taken a way that can be fun or can be not so fun. So instead of asking who your crush was, we asked, who in the FGC do you most admire and why?
There it is. I figured it out. All right. Who in the FGC do you most admire? Here we go. First answer. One of my personal faves.
From Jesse Easter, Mike Ross because he has integrity. Mike, I hope if you're watching this somehow, hope you're doing well.
Word. Next.
Next up. The Razor says, Meta RD because through nothing but hatred for him and his character, he bodied everyone at such a young age that he really put his entire country on the map. Eventually leading up to what was one of the greatest tournaments last year on the official CPT. GOAT status. Mena is a real one. Like, he got so much disrespect because he wasn't supposed to win. But dude's a real one.
Hell yeah. Next.
Next up is Super Dynamite D, who admires Tasty Steve, Yipes, and Chris Chaos for showing them that being genuine is so important. Staying true means everything.
I agree with that.
Then you have Ticket Dust, who says JDCR, because during his run as Nigh Unstoppable Champion, he looked out for the Tekken community and tried to help other players develop, and all reports are that he's a cool dude, too.
Hell yeah.
And he also did not come to the ring as Thanos. So he loses one cool point. I'm still ashamed of that one. Dog the Cynic admires the volunteers' attorneys. They're contributing their time for something they love without any of the recognition or accolades the pros get. The FGC wouldn't work without them. This is facts. This is pure facts right there. Next up. Zero DGX says Tokido, maining the same character they always mained in all games, but Street Fighter V, being that consistent, and that his fearless gameplay is something he would like to achieve besides just sharing the same favorite character.
All right, we're gonna have to lightning round because we still have a couple more to get through. But this next one is my favorite answer.
Some guy named Ace King something or other. From Blacks with Face. There's like three of us. There's me, there's Ace King from Korn, and there's Ace Combat. And we all get confused for each other.
And Ace Unlimited.
That guy, Ace Unlimited, too.
Yeah, he eliminated me from my first ever Street Fighter V tournament in final round, and I thought it was you for a long time, and I held that grudge.
So you were Ace Limited.
I was Ace Limited, yes. Speaking of, there's a chance.
Jay Skythe 2 is going with James Chen because this man has literally shed tears for his passion for FGC and has inspired them to go further into the scene and help it grow further. And then probably one more?
No, we got three more.
Okay. 506 Gonzaga goes with Sacco, taking the win on this one, not only because of their talent, but because he's still relevant, even though he has a family, he's a family man over 40 years old and has a full-time job. Putting in that work is Sacco. Big Sif going with Ryan Hart. He's one of those people that embodies greatness. On and off stream, you can tell he keeps it real all the time. And then this is the last one?
One more after this.
Mad B Man goes with Sajam is a professional with a perfect work ethic. I would hire him for any service he offers. If he offered to reprogram my Tesla to drive twice as fast, I would trust that he could do it, that he'll do a good job, and charge a fair price. That is an oddly specific statement.
Okay.
But go for it.
Slightly controversial, but we're going with it.
And then this one... is this how we're closing?
Yep. That's the last one.
NB Silent Shadow going with Mike Z for the Infinite Protection System in Skullgirls. Yeah, that's how we're ending it.
Yep. Hey, man, blame Twitter.
I really wish you would have reorganized that a little bit.
Look, that's on Twitter order, not mine.
But don't you have authority over that?
It's on the page. I clicked the send button. It was too late. So I'll take the heat for that one. I apologize. Speaking of taking heat.
Ron Burgundy will read whatever's on that teleprompter.
All right. Well, this is a great episode up until now. All right, ladies and gents, that is our time for today. I've been Elon. This has been John Guerrero. That over there is Steve Main Squeeze 8, King Officer Jurek. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again next week. I'm not going to say too much, but know that there are big things in the work, and there's going to be some changes on the setup side of things, so it's going to hopefully look spiffier and have more spiffy things so we can get this show looking as good as you deserve this show to look. Like, because you guys show us a lot of support, and we really appreciate it.
Next week, the spifflification of Best of Five.
Yes. Also, maybe a guest. Not sure yet, but maybe. Anyway, go watch Ultra Chen. Wait, hold on.
Good night, Canada.
The song just ended. Hold on, wait for it. There we go. All right, later, everybody.
Good night, Canada, for real this time.
She hasn't had spifflification.